I want to share with you today the importance of where God's taking us. We've called this Vision Sunday, and the notes and stuff are going to be critical because I'm going to lay out some direction. Well, I'm going to lay out some very specific direction. You're going to want to take this stuff home and look at it and study it. I'm not going to be able to cover everything in detail. That's not my intention. But God has spoken clearly where we're headed for this coming year. And there's some very clear things that I believe are critical for us to understand. We set a theme where we're mighty in His power. That continues. That's not going away. We're going to continue to understand the power of God. But when you think about a vision, it's so critical. I do this every year. I take time to think, God, where are we going? And sometimes it often happens that here we are in January. I'm going to share this with you. It's happened in September, sometimes in October. There's other times when this will come. But I endeavor, not necessarily every year. There have been times when we've just carried it through for a couple of years. I'm looking, constantly seeking, along with my leadership team, where are we going? God, what are you speaking? And I want you to know, this has been affirmed by our leadership. The things I'm about to share with you has been discussed and explored and prayed for and thought out over probably the last year, in particular the last 6 months. And we've really looked at this and what God's speaking to us. And Lord had given a very specific word to me that I want to share with you because I've been asking God, help me understand the times we live in today. And it was interesting that in this first slide, God spoke a word to continue to persevere and attack the darkness. Now let me explain. That's a somewhat ambiguous statement. It can mean a lot. I'm saying to God and saying, Lord, help me understand for us as a church, what are you saying? And what I heard God say, number one, continue to persevere. And what I interpret that as is don't stop doing what you're doing. You know, I'm always looking at, God, is there some correction we need to make, some adjustment? And certainly there are lots of adjustments you're going to make when you lead a church. There's things that are going to, it's going to ebb and flow a little bit. And what I heard God saying is not necessarily any radical changes, but there are some adjustments, and I'm going to share them with you. But what God also said was, and here's where Luke chapter 11 just jumped out at me, and so I tell you, keep on asking, and you will be given what you ask for. Keep on looking, and you'll find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and the door is open to everyone who knocks. I heard God say very specifically, don't give up. You know, there are some things that we've been talking about and praying through with God. We're on 20 years. And I still hear God saying, persevere. I mean, God's given me this amazing spiritual gift called stubbornness. Can you say amen to that? There's nothing better than spiritual stubbornness. I'm not sure what verse is that in, but I think it applies in a lot of verses where, I mean, if anything, what characterizes my life is a stubbornness that, God, I've heard you. I am not giving up despite what's going on in front of me because I heard from you. And when God has spoken something, I'm not going to give up. Even if it takes years. I've learned in my study, it does sometimes take time. I know we live in a world that we want it in a week or two, but sometimes it takes years and decades for God to do some things. And so God was reaffirming, keep on asking. Keep on knocking. And I hear God saying, you know what? The door's going to open. And then I heard God say clearly, attack. Attack the darkness. Because what God's reinforcing, and we've talked a lot about this, the times we're living in is very challenging. There is a war at hand. We live in a time of war. And we need to recognize and not shrink away from the fact there really is something going on around us. The economic, the political, the social, I mean the moral, relational, there are so many issues and challenges that we are facing today. And I believe it's a little bit unique than what we've seen in the past. When I look at the past 30-plus years of ministry, I think, wow, this time is a little different than other times. Certainly there have been other challenges, but right now I've not seen this set of concerns raised up. I've not seen this kind of conversation going on in the world today. And God's Word affirms the fact, it says, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. There it is, our theme. Put on the whole armor of God. We're going to learn to get dressed in the armor of God every morning. That you may be able to stand against what? The wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. And here you see the word darkness. Listen, there is a fact that there really is evil, and there is a battle going on against evil. You know, one of the great things that I see happening, a strategic plan of the devil, is to somehow minimize his existence. It's interesting. We are now having conversations. We are hearing people talk about the fact, well, maybe there really isn't a devil. Maybe that whole idea is metaphorical. Maybe the idea of evil really doesn't exist. Maybe it really is something of a whole other understanding. And I'll tell you, the church right now is, and in some, I'm hearing even in some conversations within the evangelical church, that maybe we've missed something here. And that is crazy, because there really is a devil, there really is evil, and we are at war against that kind of evil and individual that does in fact exist. But what better strategy than convince you and I that doesn't exist? Matter of fact, here's the next step where we're headed. The next step is there's no hell. We're already talking about that. There are a number of theologians that are coming out and saying, you know what? There really is no hell. No one's going to hell. There is no other place. It's strictly, again, an idea, a philosophy, but everyone goes to heaven. Somehow we're all going to make it. And once again, how dangerous is that if you understand the Word of God? There really is a hell. There really is a heaven. And the only way you go to heaven is through Jesus Christ. If you don't have Jesus Christ, then you go to hell. But we're struggling with that. And I get it. I love the conversation because there are a lot of really amazing people that are going to hell because they have not received Jesus. But we're struggling with the fact that here's a good person, here's a talented person, here's whatever. And how is it that God would ever do something like that? Well, now that conversation is becoming more than just a conversation. Let me tell you where this is going to go. It is slowly moving to a time where we're going to start becoming more eclectic, even our religious view. It's already happening. The dam is broken. There's a battle right now in some of our evangelical colleges that are now declaring that there is no difference between Christianity and Muslim and Mormon and Jehovah's Witnesses, and they are now battling within some of our evangelical colleges that train future pastors that are now adopting a view that, well, maybe we don't have this right. Maybe we can find commonality in all things. So here's what it's going to sound like. So you can be Muslim, you can be Christian, you can be Jewish, you can be Mormon, you can be all these different things, but we all would agree there is a great God out there. And so we'll all worship that God. There's just other ways of going to that God. Listen, there's nothing new about that. This has been a battle that's going on. The dangerous thing now is we're seeing evangelical training institutions starting to actually move in that direction. Let me tell you, that's scary. Because now it's going to be, and here's where this is going to head. And it already exists in a place of the world. So you can no longer evangelize. You cannot share Jesus. Because we all have our way. And if you start pushing your views on someone else, you're going to get in trouble. And we already kind of have that anyway, don't we? Slowly and surely, we are watching the right of our conversation, of our freedom to share. And I love the fact we live in a place that we can disagree and still live together. You know, but we can share. We can debate. We can discuss. That is healthy. I love that kind of interaction. But we're moving away to where now somehow it's not okay to disagree. It's not okay to debate. It's not okay to have this kind of stuff, realizing, look, we understand what the Word of God says. So we understand we are at war. For 2016, we're going to awaken to the reality of this. You and I are going to face this together. And listen, we're going to start realizing God's given us the ability to fight this war. We have weapons. 2 Corinthians tells us, though we live in the world, we do not wage war. There's the concept, as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. And we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Now, we could spend all morning talking about this. I'm not going to. We have actually in the past, but we'll come back to this later. But I want you to see God has given us the weapons. God has given us the... And I want you to understand as we move into this new year, we are going to fight the battle. I don't know about you, but it still resonates in a negative way in my heart Remember, we talked about this new labeling of Christians called the churchless Christian. We talked about that last week. I got to tell you, that deeply bothers me. And when I say resonates, it's stuck inside my soul when I think about there is this new type of Christian now that has decided that I don't need to be involved in the gathered community. I don't need to be involved in the local church body. I don't have to go except maybe occasionally, apparently identifying themselves as followers of Jesus, but showing up once every 6 months. That is crazy. Because you cannot do life as believers, you cannot do this life as a Christian without the local church body and being involved as a gathered community. God set that up. He hasn't changed it, in case you're wondering, because he meant all that. The world may want to change it. And again, the world's waging war to change these things, to minimize the importance of this stuff, and convince us that we can do it another way. We can do it through media. We can do it through Facebook. We can do it through virtual church. There's all these crazy things they're thinking of. So what, we can disconnect and not be what God's called us to be? Listen, there's a word. That's dumb. That's a word from God, by the way. I mean, I want you to think about that. There's no way that is what God intended for us. He made it very clear throughout. And so we're fighting this battle. We're waging this war. We're living in a world right now that believes in entitlement. We are living in a world that is overworked, overwhelmed, overstressed. We're living in a world today that's so oversexed, it's ridiculous. We are seeing such a rise in sexuality and how it is we look, behave, all this kind of, I am seeing so much stuff come out. There is a battle going on to get us to fall right into the pit of hell. And one of the best ways to do it is through our personal pleasure, somehow convincing us that, you know what, God's boundaries, God's blueprint isn't really appropriate. And I'm watching, you know, it was interesting. They were doing a study, and this is a recent study, 2014. I just read this, and they published this in a journal. I read these journals. And what's interesting, they were looking for individuals who had not had sex to do the study. So these were young adults, 18 to 24, and in this, they were looking at about three or four major universities. And guess what? They published their findings. They couldn't find one person who had not had sex. Now, none of them are married. Not one person could they bring into the study in three major, we're talking thousands and thousands of young adults, not one individual could they find that would apply to the study. Now, that ought to alarm us a little bit. Now, I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but we're seeing right now this amazing challenge. So what is it we're going to do? Well, in 2016, we are going to become aggressive. We are going to attack darkness. We are going to move on the offensive rather than being, listen, I'm tired of the church being defensive. I'm sorry. And I'm going to talk about this in a second, but you know what? We are too often, you know what we do is we stand by and hope someone else will say something. We stand by hoping. I mean, I love it when I watched Franklin Graham speak up about something in one of the colleges, and I thought, thank God, Franklin Graham, I'm right behind you all the way. And how many times we get behind people rather than being in front? I believe God's calling the church to rise up, speak up, and become a voice in the world around us. Look what it says here, Philippians chapter 3. Now, I have given you everything else. I have found it to be the only way to really know Christ and experience the mighty power there is again that brought him back to life again to find out what it means to suffer and to die with him. So whatever it takes, I'll be the one who lives the fresh newness of life of those who are alive from the dead. I don't mean to say I'm perfect. Case amen to that. Here's what God's saying. Live your life as a believer. Quit playing around. In other words, speak up. Behave, live, act like a believer. But you know what? No one's asking you to be perfect because there is no one perfect. I want you to know that the person on either side of you is not perfect. Can you say amen to that? I mean, that's comforting to know. And even Paul is saying here, I'm not perfect. I haven't learned all that I should yet. I'm still learning. But what do? Do I give up? Nope. I keep working towards the day when I will finally be all that Christ saved me for and wants me to be. So that, I read that and I go, man, there is hope for me. He's not done with me. I want you to know, here's a word. God will not be done with you till you have breathed your last breath. There is something to be learned. There's something to grow. If you are telling me you're too old to learn and serve, you don't understand the Word of God. There is no retirement in God's service. Can you say amen to that? There is no vacation in God's service. There is just that ongoing work that we do because we want to keep right on going and be everything that God wants us to be. So we fight this, and I believe God's calling us to stop being defensive. So here's what I want to put it in the next slide. We see right here, intentional, responsive leadership rather than accidental, reactive leadership. Here's what I mean by that. The church today is more functioning in accidental leadership. Here's what happens. Something happens, and we happen to be there by accident. And then we accidentally get to say something. Rather than being intentional, being preventive, start thinking about the things that are in front of us. There are so many things we could do differently, things that we could be involved with. I mean, where are we? We should be on the school boards. We should be serving in the city councils. We should be involved in the schools. We should be involved in our colleges. We should be intentionally responsive in our leadership rather than being reactive all the time, like, oh my God, I got to say something now. All right, let's go stand and hand, let's hold posters on the street corner hoping that maybe that law won't pass. Well, we ought to be as involved in the very beginning of it, in that discussion, rather than all of a sudden finding out accidentally this is coming up and they're about again to remove our rights. We ought to intentionally be involved in those places where we can have a voice in the beginning of it, not running around accidentally, passively trying to get caught up. Can you see a minute of that? I see that a lot in the world we live in today. We're running around with our head in the ground. We're like ostriches. And I tell you, it doesn't work because all you're hiding is your head. The rest of the body is fully exposed. And so there needs to be something of an understanding that we can start being intentional, responsive, rather than accidental, passive and defensive. And so we become, we understand sacrificial stewardship, commitment, unity as a church, and we understand what it means to work as a team. God, in 2016, wants us to be a strong, powerful team together. Listen, it is time that the church influences the world around us rather than the world influencing the church. Write that one down. The world is influencing the church. The church is not influencing the world like it used to. There was a time when it was clear that the church had a force, a statement, something powerful to speak into the world around it, the community we live in. It used to be you put the church in the very center of the village you lived in so that it would be the focal point of what was going on. It would be the place that you gathered for meetings, and there would be something of a pastor who would help lead that charge and be a part of those things. Well, today we're not even invited there hardly ever anymore. I think that's wrong. I believe that's a little bit scary. So it's time that we look at recognizing that we can be intentional, and we have power. Power from on high. Can you say amen to that? God has spoken for us in 2016. Listen, here's something I learned at military college when I was studying all this fun stuff. You will never move an enemy out from his fortified position apart from the impact of a force that is more powerful. Can you say amen to that? You think about that. As simple as that may sound, as a strategic plan, when you're devising an attack against an enemy, that when you're looking at the force that you're coming against, this basic kind of under, because how often we don't even stop and think about what our resources are, how we can strategically move, and that's why we end up getting blown apart. God has given us the strength to blow up the enemy. But the enemy's blowing us up because we're not utilizing the resource we have. Our power source is a resurrected Lord. And in 2016, we need to live that way. The fact is, God has given us this amazing, it says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Luke tells us, and now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with what? Power from heaven, or power from on high. So here's what I know. The Word just told me something. We have been given an amazing, this isn't like something that doesn't exist. It exists right now, this very moment. There is power that comes into every believer that can be utilized, and that is what will move the enemy away. It's time we start operating in that way, understanding the resource that we have. And let me tell you, this is only going to work if we work as a team. Here is something, I see the church today, and you want to write this down. as a group of individuals gathering together, rather than a team. We are the church today. In most churches, you see people gathering as individuals, and so we get a bunch of individuals together, and then we kind of individually go our own way. God is speaking to us in 2016 to become a team, working together in all the things that God is directing us. And I'm going to be very practical in a minute. I'm going to share these things. But we're going to adopt a team strategy. In Nehemiah, we see a possible attack coming against the rebuilding of the wall. So what does Nehemiah do? Duck and cover? No, he positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall, at the weak places, at the openings, set people according to their families. I love that. We're going to talk about that. With their swords, spears, and bows. So you're going to be trained using swords, spears, and bows. Doesn't that sound like fun? Hallelujah. And, finally, you're excited. All right. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles, the leaders, to everybody, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. Look what it says. And fight. Don't hide. Don't wait for someone else to do it. Step up and fight. And the church needs to step up and fight. Every one of us needs to find that place where we are going to work. And then doing it together, working together as a team. So I want you to look at this slide here. This is critical. This is something that you want to, I could spend all morning on this slide. I want you to think about this. Look at this. We are a Christ-centered family, a church, glorifying, worshiping God in all we do, committed to equipping or building up believers toward personal maturity by communicating the truths or the word of Jesus Christ through active ministry participation. Okay, let me go back over that. That's a lot. That summarizes everything we're just talking about. Now, I want you to think about this. Number one, we are a Christ-centered family. Okay, let me get this. I want to make a point here. We are a family. We are an imperfect family, but we are a family. And it's time that we start functioning as a family. Now, I realize that for many of us, that concept of family and what that means has some different understanding because of how you were raised or however it was. Listen, this is a healthy family and needs to function accordingly and understand what it means. When you're a part of a family, that means you work through things, you struggle through things, but you just don't walk away from your family. You just don't give up on your family. You work through stuff. I just had this conversation with someone the other day. And as we went into this conversation, we were talking about it. And basically, there were things going on. I said, well, why didn't you say that to us? Why didn't you tell me this was going on? I think we could have helped you. And of course, they looked at me and said, you're right. We could have said something. I'm sorry. But now it's like too late. But I presented this to this, and I said it this way. So when you're a part of a family and your kids go south, or your marriage isn't working right, your spouse isn't acting well, so of course, what do? Go find another family, right? You go down one block, and you think, you know, that family down the block, they're living better than this family. I think I'm going to go live with them now. So, you know, kids aren't behaving really well. Life isn't going well. You know what? Let's go find another family. And you walk there and go, knock on the door, and they open up. Hey, I'm here. I want to live with you now. You look like a really nice family. Can I have dinner with you? I smell dinner. Sure, come on in. You can be part of our family. We got an extra bedroom. Come on and hang out. Ignore your family, and you leave them all over there. Now, what do? You work it out. You struggle through things. You don't give up on your family. And yet, in the world we live in today, we are giving up on our family way too quickly. We are not communicating. We are not functioning as a Christ-centered. I don't know how often I can say this, but it's time we wake up in 2016 and function as a Christ-centered family where we glorify God in all we do, committed to building up believers towards the personal maturity. And again, we're going to talk about that in a second practically and through the Word of God. We are committed to reaching out into our community, local evangelism, and to partner with others in reaching the nations. World of vision with the redemptive life of Christ. Listen, that's part of what God's called us to do. God's called us to do these things. So where are we going? Can we go back to that previous slide now where we were before? So here's what we're doing. We're going to teach and train the fundamentals. We're going to spend this year to make sure we nail down the fundamentals. The Word of God says, you have put off the old self with its habits. You put on the new self, which God is continually renewing in His own image to bring you to full knowledge of Himself. You know what? We fail and fall into sin a lot of times because we ignore the fundamentals. Look at the Seahawks. I mean, what could be a better example than the last week's game? They came out in the first half and ignored the fundamentals. They forgot how to tackle. They forgot how to pass. They forgot how to run. The first half was like crazy. I mean, you would have walked away thinking the game's over. Now, it was exciting that the second half they came back and figured out, okay, we're here to play football. And they almost came back, but it was too much. It was just a little bit too much. Now, I thought about this. I was kind of processing. I thought, okay, that's just a football game. It's not a big deal in life. But in real life, this is a big deal. Because we fail and we fall into some bad stuff because we are not living out the fundamentals of prayer, the Word of God, studying, talking with others, support, accountability, edifying, evangelizing, all the things that we are talking about. If you don't do those fundamentals, then you are likely to fail and fall into sin because you're ignoring the very thing that God's called us to do and how to live. So I believe God clearly has said in 2016, we're going to nail this down. Now, you've heard for the last 3 weeks, I've been talking about EMC squared. Say that with me, EMC squared. Okay, that is almost the formula that Einstein came up with relativity. Only as E equals MC squared. But you're not going to forget this. And I don't want you to forget it because this isn't energy, this is evangelism. This isn't mass, this is maturity. This isn't the speed of light, this is community. Community squared, because we're going to build up and reach out. So for 2016, we are going to do EMC squared. Can you say amen to that? I see the book, EMC squared. Listen, we're going to start with evangelism. We've talked about this. I really believe God's calling us to focus on commitment and recommitment. Because there's a lot of people, the churchless Christian. I believe God's going to raise up an opportunity of ministry to see them recommit their life back to Jesus. Because you cannot walk with Jesus. And I believe God's going to bring an amazing call. God tells us clearly in Scripture, don't hide your light under a basket. Instead, put it on a stand and let it shine for all. That's what we're going to do. We are going to live because Jesus was talking to the woman. The water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Matthew tells us very clearly, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. We are going to get out there and share Jesus. The church is going to die if we don't share Jesus. And if we don't share Jesus, who's going to share Jesus? The guy down the street? No, we are. That is our responsibility. And so we're going to make opportunity for that to happen. I'll talk about that in a second. Secondly, maturity. We are going to teaching and training and worship in the Word. We are going to put an emphasis on worship and the Word of God with teaching and training. Again, Isaiah says, he sent me to heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Listen, I love this passage. Because it speaks to ministry. I want people who are beaten up, broken, bruised, limping to come into this place. I want people who feel like there's nowhere else to go, so I'll try this place. Because I believe God's called us to be that kind of a healing place. I believe God's called us to take those who are struggling with addictions and infidelity and family issues and all kinds of the things that affect human beings, that we would let them come in. And I believe God wants to do an amazing work in them. And here's the crazy part. He wants to use you. You here are an amazing resource, and you can do some pretty amazing. I want you to get ready to let God use you. Some of you are sitting too much. It's time for you to start moving and exercising and developing some spiritual muscle. You have such talent, ability, and experience, and you're sitting. And I want to speak against that in 2016. I want to raise up a people who are willing to get involved. You know, God said he gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the saints. No one person has it all. We all have to share in this. And he says, for the work of what? Ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come to unity of faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, and it says, to a perfect man, which is just in the Greek, maturity. That translates as maturity, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We are going to work in this coming year to develop this maturity, EM and then C squared, community, building up and reaching out. It says, now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. We are God's field. You are God's building according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. And for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is, say that with me, Jesus Christ. 2016, the foundation will be Jesus Christ and no other. We are not going to lay any other foundation. And I'll tell you what, there's a master builder. The master builder is the architect. The architect is who? This is a test. The architect is who? Okay, now think about it for a second. The architect is who? Oh, see, now you're hesitant. I fooled you. You're right. Say it with me. Jesus. He's the architect. Correct. Okay, now where's the blueprint? You sure? You're right. The architect. You guys are all nervous. I want to build that confidence up. I want you to just think, wait, of course, it's Jesus is the architect. He's the master builder. And how are we going to build? According to the word of God. The Bible is the blueprint. And we're going to lay the foundation, which is Jesus, as we go through this. God has called us to live and build in this way. And so we're going to build up a community. We're going to reach out in our community. And we're going to do it. Because God says, listen, we're not here to build a building. We're here to build people. We're about people. The word says in 1 Peter, we're living stones that we gather up and build what we call the church. I'm not worried about the walls. I'm not worried about the chairs. I just want you to be able to sit in them. All I'm concerned about is people and how lives can be built up and what we can do. So what does this mean? So what we're going to do is lay out some practical things. Number one, we're going to begin having a strong emphasis on small groups and class development. Pastor Ken, next week, is going to talk about, and we're going to have a lot of information about our community groups and what's happening, but we're going to do groups that are teaching and training groups, discipleship with relationship building groups, common interest groups, and support and growth groups. We are going to develop groups. If you're a part of this church, you're going to be involved with a group because that's the way to do life. You know, a church doesn't matter what the size is as long as you're in a group. Who cares? I mean, it really, what becomes important is the development of these. And we are going to serve and serve and serve in our community. And I just started writing stuff down of all the things that are coming in 2016. We are going to move with food drives. We're going to volunteer. I'm excited. I'm working with Pastor Craig about volunteering at a local school and actually having a school of our own that we are going to, I mean, we can't do every school, but you know what? We can go to one local school and be a part of it and make that part of our outreach and our mission. We're looking towards doing that. We're going to be involved with addiction recovery. We are going to be involved in helping people in their homes. We're going to be obviously going worldwide, grief recovery, prayer groups. We are going to work with our military community. We have a huge opportunity there with our youth, our young adults. We're going to work very specifically with new families. We got a lot of them. We're going to be working with transitional developmental life stages. We're going to focus a lot on marriage and family. We're going to work together within God's community. We're not going to do this alone. We're going to work as a team within the larger community as well. We have been doing that. We will continue to do that. Can you say amen to that? So God's calling us to some very... Now, so again, practical application. EMC squared together. So here's what we're going to do. Two times in 2016. We are going to drop everything and focus in April and May, October, November. We are going to focus and we're all going to do EMC squared together. Everything from the babies to however old you are, we are all going to do the same thing. All the small groups will do the same thing. Everyone from the service, everything that goes on will be about EMC squared. And we've done this before. We're going to produce DVDs. We're going to produce material. We are going to work. And then we're going to do that April, May. And then guess what happens after May? June, July, and August. What a great time to have fun together. And then to put into application, it's just perfect. Then we put into application what we've learned because now we've got summer to do that. Can you say amen to that? Summer is coming. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. Summer's coming for me on Monday. I'll tell you about that in a second. And then October, November, we're going to do it again. Same thing, twice, EMC cubed. No, squared. And so, and what happens after November? Thanksgiving and Christmas. What a great time to now apply it. And so you can see how we're being strategic here. The other thing we're going to do is we're going to develop family nights on Wednesdays. You're about to see some changes and shift that's going to take place. We're going to make Wednesday night a family night. And what we're going to do is we're going to move our Royal Ranger program and our Girls Clubs program to Wednesday nights. We're going to have something all the way through for all ages, and we're going to focus in on, especially for families with children, we're going to make an opportunity to help marriages be healthy. We are going to put, and I think it's right here, a huge emphasis on marriage and family. High, high priority in this coming year. We're really going to work on that. And so what's going to happen is I want the Royal Rangers in our Girls Club program to be the very best in this county. And I'm moving it intentionally so that we can emphasize, and I want to see us to be not only be serving our church community, but I want to see serving the community at large. I believe it can do that. I mean, I was a Boy Scout. I was a Club Scout, Boy Scout. You know, and I'm not sure where they're going right now. The Royal Rangers is an amazing alternative to that that accomplishes the same thing, and they do a much, much better job, especially if you want those Christian values right now. And I got to tell you, we're gonna make that strong, strong, strong. And then as we talk about marriage and families, we're going to develop mentoring-type relationships. Here, listen, everyone who's over 40, raise your hand. Okay, over 40. Okay, I'm talking to you right now. Go and put your hands down. You need to become the mentors of those who didn't raise their hands. About half of you are over 40. In the first service, it was far less. But here's the deal. We are going to, in 2016, utilize the maturity and the experience and the age and wisdom that you have to help those families that don't have that. I am talking to families every day. Listen, this is what I do. And they're talking about how they don't have a mom or dad to look to. They don't have someone to interact with like we could have. And some of you need to wake up to the fact that you have been given something that can be used. And I want to see you working with couples and individuals and families. And it's time that we wake up to something, because I believe it's a waste of talent. You know, the 2 Timothy 2:2, the idea that we have Pauls and we have Timothys, the idea that we can take people who have some expertise and maturity that can help those who are still kind of just starting. And that is something the church is not doing a good job at. Matter of fact, we stink at it. Not only us, but across the board. I don't see the utilization of those who are... What I do see is the older group being pushed aside. We are not going to do that. That's dumb. And so we're going to emphasize how we can do that. We're going to spend time fasting. Matter of fact, put on your calendar, March 6th to the 27th, 21 days of fasting. We're going to set aside a time of fasting. And you know what? Fasting is critical. What does fasting do? Fasting helps clarify. You know, every now and then, medical science will tell you it's good to not eat because your tummies need a rest. You overwork them. And so when you give yourself a rest, your body can recover. You know what? I think, and that's a healthy thing medically, spiritually, fasting is dynamic. But you know where I think we need to fast? I think we need to fast in our brains. Because we are so polluted by media. I'm going to emphasize a media fast. I'm going to challenge some of you to go without watching media for a couple of weeks. No TV, no movies. I see some of you shaking already. What are we going to do? I mean, how am I going to spend my time? You realize the average person spends 6 hours, not at work stuff, but at entertainment stuff, video games, movies, music, all these things. Can you imagine if we took that time and started hanging out with Jesus and used that time with one another? Okay, I think you get the point. We'll talk more about it. Sunday evenings will be special events. We're going to do, like I said, prayer and fasting, worship, word, and ministry. We're going to practically apply, at least go back, leave it there. We're going to practically apply these things. So there's more coming. I want you to get ready for 2015, 2016. We are going to make this thing happen. You see the end of that? So I'm giving you some how-tos. Get ready. Now, a lot of you have asked a question about what's going on with the building. Okay, 2016. Let me tell you about the building real quick. We haven't made any decisions yet. That's what we know about the building. But here, can I share something with you? I want to make something very clear. The council and I have made it a very high priority and a boundary. Our concern is to not put ourselves into a financial pressure cooker or a stress that would hinder our ministry. Let me tell you what that means. We have a budget. We know what that budget is. The council and I have discussed, we've looked at it, and so we are not going to, I want to guarantee you, we are not going to put ourselves in a position where all of a sudden we're struggling. Because you know what? That's not good financial management. We understand what that is. You know, and the same thing we teach you, we're going to live it as well. Now, I want you also to understand something. Buying a building or building a building is a whole lot different than your home. So don't try to make those two match, because it doesn't. This is a whole other different process. Now, the dome is still an option. It's not happening, though, right now. It's on hold. And we're still praying about it, researching this. We've raised $120,000. Can you say amen to that? That's exciting. And it's not enough. We really need $500,000. So here's the deal. The dome will happen. Write the check out for $500,000. That's $500,000. And make it out to Abundant Life Four Square Church. And on the memo, make sure you put down there, you know, building. Okay? And then we'll make sure it's used the right way. Can you say amen to that? So I'm waiting for one of you to write that check. As soon as you do that, it's going to happen. In the meantime, okay, God, what would you like us to do? So I want you to know, your counsel and your pastor, we're really looking at this. We're being very, very careful. Now, we are investigating the possibility of a land purchase to buy and build. So here's what that would look like. We find a piece of land, and we're looking at land right now. We might buy it, and then we'd sell this building. This building has equity. It has a lot of equity. And with that equity, we could use that then to build a new facility, and then we'll move in. And probably have I know we would have, most likely, a significant debt reduction. Now, we're not sure yet what's going to work best, because I'm going to tell you something. Buying land and building a building like what we're talking about, which is a commercial building, is an interesting process. And unless you do that, you wouldn't understand how very complicated and how involved it really is. So the short of it is, we are waiting and we're on hold. Okay, God, what's the next step? So I want you to know that the council and I, we are praying, we are talking, we are researching, we're doing our homework, and nothing's going to happen until we're very certain of what God wants us to do. And we're still going to come to you. We'll let you know before we make that step. But you can be assured, we're not just going to do something crazy. I am not going to let that happen. That is something that I've lived by since I've been here, a very careful boundary when it comes to finances and how to live that way. But you know what? We need to do something. And you know, but and if God says, just persevere, I am going to keep knocking until that door opens. Can you say amen to that? And so, you know what? We trust in God. 2016 is going to be amazing. Can you believe that? Look at what's in front of us. I've just given you a lot of information, right? So now you want to really digest it. Now, as we dismiss, I want you to pray. We're going to pray. I'm going to ask you to pray for me. I'm getting ready to leave on Monday. And as you know, I used to be part of the United States Air Force. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Hallelujah. And I used to, my last 5 years at my last base, I was the marriage and family guy. I did everything. As a matter of fact, the commander had assigned the responsibility. I did the counseling, the workshops. I spent time with commands, helping them to help strengthen the family, because in the military, marriage and family is a real challenge. So the Air Force still likes me. And so I've been invited to go, and I'm headed off Monday, Lois and I, to Hickam Air Force Base. Now, some of you know where Hickam Air Force Base is. I've already had a number of volunteers to help me in this ministry. If you don't know, Hickam Air Force Base is in Hawaii. Someone has to go. So I'm going to be working with the military command there, and they've gathered a whole bunch of people there that I'm going to be talking to and talking about marriage and family. I'll be meeting with some of the leadership, helping train them to do marriage and family. And I'm please pray, I got a couple days to enjoy some of that water time. So, it's the Air Force is paying for it. Can you see amen to that? So it's nice that they still want me. But you know what? Here's how I see this. We're going as a team. I'm going, you're praying. Hallelujah. But we are going together because I can't go without you. And I'm going to stand in front of them and tell this group about you. I'm going to let them know who you are, that you're praying for them, and that, you know, we're going to do what we're going to bring to them. We're covering this in prayer. And, you know, who knows what God's going to do? I believe God wants us to get back to doing more of that, because that is a huge need in our military community. And so we're going to have an opportunity to really help them. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
All right. It's exciting. That's what I meant when I said summer starts tomorrow for me. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Lord, I want to thank you for our time together, for the opportunity that we've had, and Lord, for the things that you have really spoken to me. Lord, thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity that which you're giving to each of us. Lord, you're speaking to us. I just pray we can listen. Lord, we do ask that as there's this preparation, an opportunity to go minister to military families, Lord, make that way clear and begin that work even now. Lord, we just commit ourselves for each of those families, because they're coming because they're struggling. There's some real need there. And I pray what we do will really help them. We pray too, Lord God, that the things we've laid out for this coming year, Lord, it'll take root. It's seed that's been planted. Now let it grow. And so I pray for your covering and blessing. Thank you, Lord, for a patient, understanding congregation that is willing to take this in and listen and then apply it. Help us, God, to apply this and make it so real. Lord, we are so hopeful for what's in front of us. So protect your people, watch over them, keep them safe. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, God bless you.